You're listening to Real People of Orange County, and I'm your host, Kimberly Martin. This show is a fun and informative look inside the lives of Orange County's best and brightest. These are people who serve their community in a meaningful capacity on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Well, hello, and welcome to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. This is Kimberly Martin, and I am your host of Real People OC. We join you each and every week on Thursdays from 4 to 5, and I don't know about you, but I really enjoy what I do here. I have a great time meeting some of Orange County's best and brightest, and as usual, I always like to say this, but each week I really get to dig a little deeper into community life and learn something more about you. And so I always welcome you. If you know of anybody or you listen to the show and you think somebody needs, you know, a highlight for the work that they're doing in our community, whether it be business or nonprofit or just an interesting career in general, I am all for it. So please feel free to contact me at info@realpeopleoc. And I'd love to hear from you. You can also go to our website, realpeopleoc.com, learn a little bit more about the show there. If you want to listen to us and you are not able to reach us during that hour, you can always podcast with KUCI as well. So I welcome you to join us each and every week again from 4 to 5. And don't hesitate to podcast or go to iTunes under College Radio. You can do that as well. So, okay, I have been talking to you guys about addressing some pretty important issues in our community. And we started a series 2 weeks ago with Human Options, an organization that addresses a lot of issues surrounding domestic violence. And so these are things I think we need to spend a little time. And I'm doing a series, and I consider this one that we're doing today to be a part of that as well. But we're going to dig a little deeper into some of those topics so we can get a greater understanding of the services and support that are offered here in our community should any of those issues be something that you, a friend, or a loved one need help with. And we're going to teach you how to do that. But one of the things that I found interesting in my research is that many of the nonprofit organizations here that support these concerns also support each other's efforts. And they're pretty intertwined. And it's a pretty integral matrix of people donating their time and bringing forth some pretty important services to the community. So I wanted you to know more about that. And that's that is a pretty powerful, you know, pretty powerful message that we send to our community by how much we care. And we as a community, I think we can give our support in whatever way that we can. I've learned a really important term by hanging around the halls of Orange County's philanthropists gatherings. And that term is that you can give of your time, your talent, or your treasure. And I think, you know, everybody says, well, what can I do? And that's a pretty common question to ask. People don't really know where to go. And so many times when you hear a discussion about the problems that are facing our community, your community, we're left with the worry and the frustration of those concerns, but we're not really given an actual path that we can give help to the problem. So it's my hope that today we are going to be able to give you some of those points where you can figure out how you can see yourself in that equation should you want to do so. And so we'll give you some options. And hopefully if anybody out there is listening wants to do something along those lines, they can find some way to donating some of their time. But today we're going to look at an organization that helps individuals become employment ready. And that's an important skill to have right now. Not everybody has those skills naturally. And we will be talking to Peggy Goldwater Clay, whom is in community relations with Working Wardrobes. And Working Wardrobes, as you may or may not know, is a vital organization to Orange County and serves to empower men, women, veterans, and young adults in overcoming difficult challenges when entering the workforce. So, but first a little bit about our guests. I'm looking at a beautiful lady sitting across from me. I am pleased to be joined by Peggy Goldwater Clay. She brings to her position at Working Wardrobes over 30 years of entrepreneurial experience, public relations,
marketing, sales, fundraising, event planning, product development. Phew, I mean, the list actually goes on. I could go back to her bio and keep reading down that list. But I'd like to highlight a little bit of her work as it relates to UCI. So it's just a small portion of her bio, but I found it interesting that Peggy served as the director of major gifts for the Irvine Barkley Theater. She was a trustee at UCI's foundation and served as the president of the UCI Brain Imaging Center Advisory Board for 17 years. She received the UCI Medal in 1996 and the UC Alumni Association Lauds and Laurels Awards for university service in 1993. And I don't know if how old our listenership is, but if her name sounds familiar, Peggy Goldwater Clay is the youngest daughter of former senator and statesman Barry Goldwater. And President Bush himself, including Clinton and Obama, have awarded her and appointed her to the board of the Barry Goldwater Scholarship Excellence in Education Foundation. We are going to hear a little bit about Peggy as well today. And so I welcome you now, Peggy. Thank you for coming to Real People OC.
Very pleased to be here.
Oh, wonderful. I'm so glad you are here. And, you know, this has just been so much fun for me because I get out there in the community and I get to sing the praises of individuals such as yourself. Who are singing the praises of organizations such as Working Wardrobes. And so it's our chance here at UCI to do a little give back, to hear about your story, and to hear about the community organization that you are spending so much time devoting your time to. So let's just dig a little bit into Working Wardrobes and talk about that, and then hopefully throughout the hour we'll weave a little bit into your personal story as it relates as well.
Absolutely. We can wander and do what we want to and talk about whatever. I'm so proud to be working at Working Wardrobes. This is a nonprofit organization that has been in existence for, well, we celebrate our 25th anniversary in 2015. Ooh, 25 years. Let me give you a little bit of background on how it got started. It's quite interesting. Jerry Rosen is the CEO founder. She's another lively redhead. And she saw that there was a need for women in shelters to help. She found a need to help them. So one thing she found that these women needed most were clothing, because they usually left their homes with their children and nothing else, because they had to leave quickly.
Right.
So Jerry decided to put together several of her friends to do a just kind of a one-time only function, gathering clothes for about six different shelters, and it was a very, very successful endeavor. And unfortunately, she didn't stop. Not unfortunately, she couldn't stop, because this was so incredible. Everybody was so thankful. It really helped those women get back their self-esteem to have a nice set of clothing. So that kind of culminated, because Jerry did have her own PR and marketing, which she worked for a long time, and at the same time started Working Wardrobes on its road to success as we are now.
So she was a business professional that just wanted to stick her toe in and maybe say, hey, I can do something today.
Exactly.
And it's turned into this huge, successful organization.
It is. And in the 24 years, we have helped over 70,000 people get back to meaningful lives with jobs and on the road to success. That's the best thing we can ever hear at Working Wardrobes from our clients is, I got the job. We now work with over 60 agencies throughout Orange County, LA, San Diego, and Inland Empire, and they will bring to us clients. And these are people that have been incarcerated. They're former drug addicts. These are women that have been abused in shelters. Veterans that are leaving the service and don't know really what to do with their life because they were so young when they went in. They come out, they don't have any idea of what they can do with their life because all they know is the service that they did for the country. God bless them. But our veterans division is called VetNet, and we've been able to put 500 veterans back to work. We have job training job skills training. We have job search lab. We have job placement assistant. We have wardrobe services, which is the last. Most of our clients go through our development and educational process. And when they graduate is when they get a suit of clothes. Actually, they get more than just a suit.
And they can walk out with a wardrobe if they need it.
They can walk out with basically a suit and an extra pair of pants, an extra jacket, two blouses, accessories. Men get two suits or pants and a sports jacket, ties, shirts. We work with Men's Warehouse for 17 years, and do clothing drives because you know men will wear their suits until they're threadbare.
Yes, so they don't necessarily come through the donation channels,
correct? Not a lot. So thank goodness for Men's Warehouse. We couldn't do it without them.
Oh, that's amazing.
But the clothing that we get we get a lot of women's clothing. So the business suits go into our client services area. If you walk through it, it looks like Nordstrom's. We have beautiful racks. And when we wrap their clothes up, South Coast Plaza has donated beautiful big bags. So they're not walking out with a garbage sack full of clothes that they got from us. We want them to leave with dignity and self-esteem. That is one of the most important things we can do for these people, along with the job skills that we have in place for them.
Okay, so take me through an individual's experience with working wardrobes. You mentioned some scenarios, some ways that people have come to you not employment ready. And I want to understand how, let's say somebody contacts you or somebody contacts them on your behalf or on their behalf, they come to you, and what's the first step?
Well, they come through one of the agencies.
Give me an example.
Oh, Phoenix House, Salvation Army.
Would Human Options be one of them?
And
two?
Human Options.
Our local, okay, domestic
some of the
shelters.
Yes, shelters. And they will come to us and they get an assessment as to where they are as far as job skills.
Okay.
And are they ready? And what can we give them to increase their job skills if they do have some, and make them more aware of their own talents and how they can best work that for themselves, because we don't want to give them anything that's so overly difficult that they walk away. A lot of our clients come in and they say, well, we don't know why we're here. And all they need is one day with our staff, because we make these people feel like they belong with us, that they need to be with us, because they feel all of a sudden assured they're going to get what they need to get back out in that workforce.
And the confidence and some support. It's
so important.
What a little bit of support can do for somebody.
Doesn't take a lot, Kimberly.
Yeah.
No. I see their faces when they come in, okay? They're kind of schlubby, you know? They have a sweatshirt on and Levi's and stuff.
Maybe a bit of an attitude.
Cause... No, you have never seen an attitude.
Oh, nice.
No. These people know why they're there. Mm-hmm. They know this is a hope for them. We give them hope.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have a lot of hope where they come from. You know, they're in an agency. And so what we want them to do is to be able to get back on their feet. We also help with job placement for them. And it's just an amazing thing. We've been able to place a lot of our clients in great jobs. We have customer service. And I'm not talking about, you know, necessarily department store, but customer service training can put you into a lot of different areas where you need that type of personality. And we have security guard training. A lot of our veterans like that.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Okay, so we're back to that typical individual who comes through working wardrobes. They get their assessment.
And then they're given whatever level of job training that they need. We have financial readiness training, customer service, job retention services, and we have specialized services for the veterans.
Okay. Now, I want to set aside some time to talk about the veterans, because that's an interesting issue, and it's also a service that you've just recently added to. It hasn't always been part of the program.
We've been working with veterans for about 8 years, but really, really very seriously in the last several years. We have a team of veterans that that we call our Veterans Division VetNet.
Okay.
And our veterans come in, and they're assessed by the VetNet team, and then they will go through the same job skills training as our other clients do.
And they probably have, I don't know, is it fair to say separate issues than some of the other people that come through the normal channels?
Well, yes, because a lot of them come back with post-traumatic stress syndrome. A lot of them come back newly divorced because they've been gone so long. I'm not going to say that their problems are any different than our other clients' problems. It's just a different set.
Right. Well, and I think that the difficulty could be that they come with being highly skilled in one area.
Yes.
So they are thinking to themselves, geez, you know, I have so much talent in this one area, and yet that isn't a marketable skill for today's job environment.
No. What they need is resume writing, and we help them with that because a lot of these young men and women coming out of the service, they don't have a resume because their resume would read, I was in the armed services.
And I can't tell you what I did.
Yeah, exactly. And we teach them interview tactics and mentorship and advocacy programs for them. We have entrepreneurship training and financial literacy. Financial literacy is very important because these young men come out of the service, and young men and women, I should not exclude the women because they work just as hard as our men do.
Sure.
And they need to know how to open up a checking account, how to save money, and how to basically work with their paychecks and make it last for till the next paycheck.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not a skill that comes naturally to everybody. I have maybe one child out of three where it will come naturally to her, but the others, nope, not so much.
Yeah, I think that happens, though.
Yeah, they come by it honestly, I guess, these skills. So.
You bet.
Okay, so if you're just tuning in, I'm Kimberly Martin, and I have as my guest today Peggy Goldwater Clay with Working Wardrobes, with Community Relations with Working Wardrobes. And we are talking about this organization that's been around for 25 years and has done amazing contributions to our community for people that want to reenter the workforce and really need a little help and support to do so, because it is a daunting task. If you've gone through a traumatic experience, and we won't say that military service is, but certainly if somebody comes through you from being incarcerated or having some sort of a domestic violence issue or loss of housing issue, you are in no shape to just go, you know, pop into the interview scene. You need some help. You need some support. And you might have done this before, but you don't feel as strong as you did the first time because of the experience that you've gone through. There's an organization here in Orange County that will help you address all of those concerns that you have. I want to say that if you want to go to the website for Working Wardrobes, it's workingwardrobes.org. And there's a lot of information there, but they're located at 3030 Pullman Street, Suite A, in near Baker Street in Costa Mesa. Is that the drop-off location?
That is our donation drop-off,
okay.
And we welcome all gently used clothing, preferably on hangers, that you might have hanging out in your closet. You know, we all need to do that at least two or three times a year, and
purge,
you'd be surprised.
Yes. Yeah.
We do get absolutely wonderful donors, and I'll give you an example. It's over a two-week period. We had about 147 donors. About 99 of them were return donors. We get a majority of our donors come back every time they have clothing to donate. We accept shoes and purses and scarves and jewelry, anything that it takes to clothe these people. Now, I'd like to mention something else, if I could, because we have a social enterprise included in the Working Wardrobes.
A social enterprise?
A social enterprise.
Well, what is that?
Well, we happen to have four stores.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we do. And we have two resale consignment boutiques, and they are called the Hangers.
Oh, I've been to a hanger before.
All right.
Yes, I love it.
Well, you know that you can go in there and get designer clothes for a third, even
or more so,
off.
Yes.
Yes. And we do send beautiful suits to our hangers. One is located right off Greenfield down in Laguna Niguel. I worked there, actually, when I first started with Working Wardrobes to get my feet wet and learn how we tag and price these articles and just to work with the volunteers. We have fabulous volunteers at all four of our stores. The other store is in Tustin on Main Street.
Nice.
Then we have two really kicky, great thrift shops. And these are thrift shops, when you walk in, it doesn't look like a thrift shop. You can walk around the turnstiles and look at the racks. I'll give you an example. I found a brand new, unused, never-before-worn pair of Dockers pants my husband in his size for $5.
Oh, very nice. What are the thrift shops called?
The thrift shops are called Working Wardrobes Thrift Shops. One is on 19th Street in Placentia in Costa Mesa, and the other one is in Anaheim.
Oh, very nice.
And we're hoping to open one more, maybe two this year.
So let me ask you this then. This opportunity, have you ever employed any of your graduates through to your social enterprises?
Or is that
all staffed by volunteers to make that?
No, we have two managers in each store. A manager and an assistant manager. And I think, we possibly could have hired some of our clients. I know at Working Wardrobes we have.
Very nice.
Yes. And then the rest is all volunteers.
Amazing.
It is amazing. Kimberly, these women, and we have all women volunteers except for at our thrift shop in Costa Mesa. And it just, they're so dedicated.
So one way, if somebody is listening and they want to give up some of their time, talent, or treasure, they could come and volunteer at one of these locations?
On workingwardrobes.org, we have a volunteer area where they can sign up. We need personal shoppers at our center because our clients come to the center, and they're men and women, and we need help getting them dressed.
Okay, so a volunteer could come in, donate some time in an afternoon, and walk clients through that have graduated from
these
the program.
These are graduates, yes.
And help them, assist them in finding their wardrobe.
Yes, they have a chart of what these people will get, and they try to find the perfect outfit or two for these ladies and men. And it's amazing. They walk out with their shoulders back and their heads held high because they know that they're going to be able to go to that job interview with confidence.
And did I read somewhere in the website that they give makeovers for some people if they need them?
You know, for our graduation, we have career success graduations, and we have smaller ones at our center. And we have Mary Kay will come and do makeup, and we have hairstylists that will come in and do their hair. We had Anita Bryant, Kobe's wife. She came. And she sponsored about 12 young Hispanic single mothers. And we had them come in and choose their clothing. And then they went in and got their hair and makeup done. And Vanessa came and just was so thrilled that she did that for us and with us. And had lots of photographs taken. And the women looked so phenomenal. Not like when they walked in.
Yes, they needed a little pick-me-up, didn't they?
Yes. One thing we do also with all of our graduates twice a year, one for men and one for women, is our career success event. We take over Los Amigos High School on a Sunday. We take a huge amount of clothing racks and full of clothes. We take all of our accessories. FedEx helps us get there with their trucks, and they load up these 16-wheelers, and we offload them at Los Amigos High School, and it's just amazing. Let's say we have 100 graduates. We probably have a little more this year. We will need over 250 volunteers to help them, and
wow.
We do. We get these volunteers, and it's such. And on that day, they get manicures, and massages.
Oh,
makeup, hair, all by volunteers.
So if somebody were interested in volunteering, they simply go to workingwardrobes.org, click on the link that says volunteer, and then will they be signed in to some sort of an email notification where they can hear about opportunities that they can choose to participate in?
There's a nice list on there of volunteer opportunities that they can fill out a form and get started right away.
Wonderful. So if you're just tuning in, I'm Kimberly Martin, your host for Real People OC, and I have with me Peggy Goldwater Clay, and she is the community relations individual over at Working Wardrobes, and we are hearing about this great organization that has been in existence for 25 years here in Orange County. Peggy, you mentioned earlier you wanted to read the mission of Working Wardrobes. Do you want to do that now?
Well, you kind of touched on it. If we would like to empower men, women, veterans, and young adults overcoming life challenges to confidently enter the workforce and achieve self-sufficiency, we provide career training, job placement assistance, and wardrobe services in an environment of dignity and respect. Our guiding philosophy is a belief that people are more powerful than the barriers they face, and that all of our clients share a common desire to achieve success. The strongest measure of our success is hearing our clients say, "I got the job."
Oh, beautifully said. Yes. And so there's such an important connection for human beings to have that ability to give of their effort, to support themselves, but also to give back to society. Work is such a significant way that we do that, isn't it?
It is, and it's really interesting, Kimberly, because a lot of our clients, not all of them, but they'll come back and volunteer with us.
Once they've gotten back on their feet?
Absolutely. They want to come back and give back to Working Wardrobes that which they received that allowed them to get back on their feet.
Interesting. Yeah, there's such a probably an important cycle for them to experience that, hey, I received this, but now I'm in a position, I'm better now. It's probably a really good benchmark for them.
It is. And you know, even though we live in what others perceive to be a very affluent community, Orange County, we still have over 100,000 unemployed and over 250,000 underemployed
individuals
in Orange County. Even though the job is down to 5%. I mean, jobless is now down to a little over 5%, which is fairly good because we were at 7% last year.
Well, and I mean, there's always probably some debate as to how that number is calculated. But like you said, you probably are on the front lines of that, and you see how great the need is. How great is the need specifically in Orange County? Do you find people that are needing these services to come through and get help finding a job?
I'd say it's pretty crucial. I hate to see even one person standing on the corner trying to get money or trying to find a job. It can break your heart. People sleeping in parks, sleeping in their car. There's a lot of people that will join a sports club, so they can take the showers, and then they'll go back out
and
stay in their car. That's their home, but they have to get cleaned up in order for them to go out for job interviews.
To work, it is so
yeah.
Critical.
We're hoping to we serve 5,000 individuals a year, and we're hoping to double that in the next couple of years.
5,000.
Yeah, I know.
And let me ask you this: you said you're hoping to serve double that. Does that mean the need is that great?
Yes.
That you are not able to get to everybody that needs help?
Oh, no. We alone cannot get to everybody, not with 100,000 unemployed and 250 underemployed. It's just not feasible. We do the best that we can, and we try to keep increasing the numbers of people that we can help. We, last year, worked with over 4,000 volunteers.
Oh, wow.
That is an astounding number. Once people walk into Working Wardrobes and they meet the staff and they see what we do there, it's very hard for them to walk away.
Without doing something themselves.
Without wanting to get involved with Working Wardrobes.
Interesting.
Yes. I had a lady that I met at a luncheon, as obtuse as that, and she said, "Oh, I've heard of Working Wardrobes." And I said, "Well, I'd love for you to come and take a tour. We have two tours a month."
I saw that. I love that you give the tours.
And once you take a tour, you are absolutely 100% positive you want to come back and help. And she became a personal shopper. And unfortunately, she and her husband decided to move out to the desert. She's only been a personal shopper for 2 months. But what she did is she wrote the most beautiful words about working or volunteering at Working Wardrobes. And she sent it out to about 40 of her friends in hopes that somebody can come in and step up and take her place.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's how great our volunteers are.
Oh, that's amazing. You know, none of these things could be possible, though, without the efforts of corporate sponsorship.
Oh, you bet.
I really, you know, we want to talk a little bit about the climate of corporate sponsorship in Orange County because, gosh, the large corporation in general is suffering a lot of battery in terms of the perceptions that they have in this country. And I really think it's important for us as a community to say, hey, let's not look at what the general consensus is of corporations, you know, that big bad word that everybody seems to address. Let's really look at what they're doing at a grassroots level and evaluate them in that regard. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, I'm finding that corporations now are really getting on the bandwagon for corporate responsibility and service to nonprofits. We get a lot of different and large corporations. Connecta just did a drive for us and brought over 2,000 pieces of clothing. We have racks that will go out. We take out to the different corporations and set them up in a hallway, near an elevator, wherever they come in, bringing their clothes to donate to Working Wardrobes. We then go back and pick them up. Actually, they had to rent a big truck to get all these clothes back this time. But we have what we call our clothing drives. We have right now in the hopper about 40 clothing drives throughout Orange County with different churches, corporations, smaller companies. It's amazing.
So you make it really easy for somebody, even if they just want to. So maybe if an individual is listening and they want to maybe sponsor a clothing drive at their company, what would they do?
They would go online to workingwardrobes.org and look, and I'm sure there's a tab for clothing drives. We have
it says host a drive under Get Involved.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And they can host a drive. They can host a girls' night out at our stores, and we give them champagne and cupcakes or champagne and cookies. Or and our volunteers love to make hors d'oeuvres and bring them for our girls' night out.
So they come and shop the boutique?
They come
and
shop.
Donate.
Yes. When I was working there, I was reintroduced to a lovely lady, Sharon Browning, who was with CRU, which is California Real Estate Women's Organization, which is throughout the entire United States, and they have quite a big contingency here. And I had sat next to her at a luncheon, and I recognized her when she came in the store, but we didn't know each other's names, one of those things, you know.
Yes.
And the next thing I know, I said, how would you like to have a girls' night out? So she brought about 15 of her crew members. And let me tell you how that's happened. That was a year ago. I met her a year before that, and now this year got a call from CRU, California Real Estate Women, and they want to partner with Working Wardrobes, and we will be partnering with them for their June 26th golf tournament. So all you golfers out there, go to workingwardrobes.org. It'll soon be on the website, and it'll be at Monarch Beach. We're going to be the beneficiaries of the net proceeds from that, and then we're going to continue on with other programs. They're going to do Girls Night Out again, and so we're really fortunate that organizations such as CRU recognize the need for that organization to help our organization.
Interesting.
Yes.
So interesting.
And back to corporations, like I said, I think the corporate responsibility is that a lot of corporations want their employees to get more and more involved with nonprofits. We have volunteers come in from different corporations. QBE, for example, they sent over, I think we had 8 or 10 of their employees. They spent 5-6 hours hanging clothes up and helping out in the back where the donations come in.
You know, a lot of corporations are coming up with that component inside where they want to give, they're actually putting community service,
yes,
on their schedules for their employees to participate in. And in some cases, they're setting aside a day or 2 days to fulfill that need. Some of your sponsors are Wells Fargo, Union Bank, locally Cox here, U.S. Bank, Boeing, Autobytel. Do they participate in these events too that we
talked about?
They,
yes.
That's one of the ways that they do it, but then also in...
Wells Fargo has given us a lovely donation, and they will be honored at our VetNet night celebration aboard the USS Iowa.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about that. Let's talk a little bit about that event.
Okay. That event is coming up June 21st. It is in San Pedro aboard the USS Iowa. And those of you who don't know, it's a battleship that was commissioned in the 40s, served our country well during our war years, and
yes.
Now it's berthed at San Pedro. It's fabulous old battleship.
And so just to even go on and take a tour.
Take a tour is amazing, but we're going to have a dinner party and dance and entertainment and some surprise action by some service people.
Oh,
and
very fun.
Yes. So Wells Fargo is going to be our honoree, as is Harry Humphreys, who is a retired Navy SEAL.
Oh, very interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's in Saturday, June 21st. From 4:30 to 10, that's in San Pedro. I like to say San Pedro Harbor.
Yeah, San Pedro.
You can't get me to say San Pedro.
I know. Well, we have to.
If you don't say it that way around here, people don't know where you're talking about. They're like, oh, that sounds like a really neat southern resort somewhere down south in Mexico.
Exactly.
Very interesting. What an interesting. Is it out in the water or will it be docked for your event?
It's docked. It's permanently docked now as a tourist exhibition
in
San Pedro. San Pedro. And we were lucky enough to be able to have our event on there. We're hoping to have about 400 to 500 people. It'll be a sit-down dinner. We're going to have a band that we are hoping they'll kind of sing the nostalgia songs that were great in the 40s and 50s.
Oh, very nice.
And also dance music.
Okay, very
live
good.
Auction.
Oh, very good. Now, an event like that, will that constitute a big part of your annual budget for fundraising? Does it serve those needs? Or you
yes,
need
it
people
does.
To come up and donate of time, talent, and treasure throughout the year as well.
That is very important to us also, Kimberly, but our big event brings in a lot of revenue that we need to go to the bottom line.
Okay, very good.
We have another event that we're co-hosting with Marconi, his Children's Foundation, with Dick Marconi, fabulous Children's Foundation, and they have what is called Sunday in the Vineyard.
Oh,
it's
nice.
At Marconi Auto Museum.
That's an amazing place if you
it
haven't been
able to be over there. It is $30
million
worth of cars.
That he himself put over there.
Yes.
And I don't know a lot about Dick. He's a friend of mine, and so I got to meet Dick and Bo.
Fabulous people. They are so philanthropic, and it's just amazing. And we thankfully are very happy that he shares this event. And it's a lot of wine distributors will bring their wines. Silent auction of goodies, wonderful things.
Oh, very nice.
And the winery brings the food, and they are a host as well.
Okay, very good. So if somebody's interested in that, they can go to workingwardrobes.org and go to the events section. You'll find fundraising events. You'll find those two events there, and you can learn more about them.
Yes.
If somebody wants to purchase tickets, they just contact you or the museum, or how?
There's directions. There's directions on how to purchase tickets. I believe should be on the website. If not, we'll get it up as soon as possible.
Or call Charla B. at workingwardrobes.org. You can email Charla.
Mm-hmm.
That would be good too. Now, probably the way I interacted with your organization was years ago. Somebody told me about the location, and all I had to do is pull up in the alley and open up my trunk.
That's it.
And that's what I did. I was blown away by, at the time, I think it was a small storage unit that they were working out of, or maybe a small business.
We've only been in this new 16,000 square foot building for 3 years, so you may have gone to a smaller.
Yeah. And I remember... well, I'm one of those that has a really hard time getting rid of her clothes. but when you find an organization such as this, it's much easier to give. What if we were to go digging in our closets and we wanted to start our relationship with Working Wardrobe that way, what are some of the most needed items?
Larger sizes, plus sizes for women, 24, 26, 28.
Okay.
30, if possible. Of course, men's shoes, dress shirts. Of course, suits is very important for men that aren't threadbare.
Yes, yes.
And women's suits, play clothes, shoes, purses, scarves, jewelry. Run the gamut. Whatever you have that you no longer want to keep in your closet or in your jewelry case, we will gladly take them off your hands because they will go to a deserving person or they will go to our stores, which helps our bottom line.
Oh, very nice. I remember one time I was moving and don't ask me how I got a hold of a box of, 320 blushes. I had a friend who was emptying out their garage, and I think I must have bought them off of him. He used to be in the swap meet business.
Oh, my.
And I just said, I'm going to do something with those. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I got them, and I just remember they ended up in the garage, didn't go anywhere. And I remember taking them to Working Wardrobes, and what a perfect environment. It was one of those very good general blush colors that everybody can wear, kind of a universal color. And I think I must have 10 that I've pretty much, that's all I've used for the last 15 years.
Well, we thank you for that because we also, along with their clothing, we give everybody, men and women, a goodie bag. My neighbor works for Urban Decay, and every now and then she'll bring me a huge bag full of eyeshadows or foundation. Those things are very, Arbonne, we work with Arbonne. They give us beautiful samples of things for our goodie bags.
It's amazing what one person can do.
You know, a lot of people say, I can't do anything, it's just me. Well, yes, you can.
All right.
You
so
can.
If you are feeling like so inclined and you want to do a little something for Working Wardrobes, you can go on to workingwardrobes.org and find your way to the Quick Links Volunteer, and you can get on an email list probably where they'll send out requests for people to come and help.
Absolutely.
So, Peggy, I asked you before the interview, it was okay if we talked a little bit more about some of your accomplishments.
Sure.
You have been an individual, first of all, that's done enough in your own right, but now you're in a stage of life where you're really giving back. I wouldn't say it's fair to say you just started that. You've been doing that your whole life. but let's talk a little bit about you and why you feel so called to do some of the things that it is that you do.
I think I learned a lot from my mother and father. Obviously, my dad gave back a lot to the country. And my mother started Planned Parenthood in Arizona with Margaret Sanger, the originator of Planned Parenthood. And my mother started the Heart Ball in Phoenix for the American Heart Association. So just being a young observer and seeing how wonderful this made her feel, I just kind of fell into it. I had been married and divorced and found the man of my dreams here in Orange County and have been with him for 40 years. But meanwhile, I grew a salad dressing business called Peggy Jane's and sold that to Knott's Berry Farm Foods and then started Goldwater's Foods of Arizona with my niece and my sister. And thank goodness my niece is running that. And I decided that I really wanted to go back and try something else. So that's when I went over to the Barclay Theater, which mm-hmm. I love. Still in touch with two wonderful friends there. We've had lunch together almost every month since 1999 when we all quit. And just one thing led to the other. I worked for about 5 nonprofits in my last 15 years.
Okay, good. Well, very exciting. We have about 15 more minutes so we can talk a little bit about this. But you told me on the way over here about your stint in radio. You had a brief stint with NPR.
Oh, that was here, right here where you are recording.
At KUCI.
At KUCI. It was a political, which I'm, to be honest with you, I'm not overly political. I don't like to sit and discuss politics. Everybody thinks I'm a ultra conservative. No, I'm a moderate conservative. I was on the air with, I believe, Roosevelt.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure if it was...
it's been a while. We're reaching back, aren't we?
Yeah, I think it was Julie Eisenhower.
Okay.
And I can't remember, was it Ted Roosevelt? And myself. And it was an interesting
All
show.
Children of...
Yeah, children of...
of major politicians.
Yeah, prominent politicians.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah.
And then what, so you were a board member of Air Force Academy Foundation in PBS Southern California.
Still am.
Okay. What do you do in the capacity with that?
The Air Force Academy brought me on. They have, the visitor center is dedicated to my dad. It's the Barry Goldwater's Visitor Center at the Air Force. He helped to get the Air Force Academy started. He put the bill through for financing, for the money to build that fabulous school.
Okay, very interesting. What do you think is your father's most important legacy, if you could name a few?
I think when Dad ran in 1964, he really did not want to run for the presidency. He knew that he would not win. He was to run against Jack Kennedy. And a little aside, Jack Kennedy and Dad got together and discussed the upcoming election and running for that election. It started to get very costly. And they both agreed that they would travel together on airplanes, trains, however, and give their points of view, the Republican point of view and the Democrat point of view. Unfortunately, that didn't happen because President Kennedy was assassinated, and my dad had to go against Lyndon Johnson. And he's a pretty strong-armed type of guy.
Yeah.
You know? And Dad lost soundly.
Yes.
You know, 28,000 votes. But what he did is the conservative cause was then had more recognition, and he helped carry it through the entire country. And so I would say that would be a big legacy. Another thing that people don't know about him is his photography. I consider that his best legacy. He traveled the state of Arizona and took pictures of Indians and cactus and arches and the topography of Arizona.
So a big important aspect of the state of Arizona would be his viewpoint of it.
We have a statue of Dad ready to go back to Washington to the Statuary Hall. We're just waiting to finish up that financing. We needed about another $30,000 to $70,000 to finish that up. State of Arizona is helping us, but they're not giving us funds. And we are also going to start campaigning for funds for the, let me see, they changed the name on me. It's the Barry and Peggy Goldwater Center for Democracy.
Ah, interesting.
And that's to be in Mesa, Arizona.
So, you know, I found it so interesting in doing research for this interview. I at least wanted to give some understanding of what your father contributed to politics. And he was so progressive and modern for his time. Tell me a little bit about that.
Dad had a foresight. I mean, he was very progressive. He could see things coming down the pike. And, you know, he just always said what he felt. He never pulled back on anything. And that got him into trouble when he was running. He was not used to speaking from a scripted speech. Mm-hmm. He was always off the cuff. He would make a few notes at home before he was to go to a big event, maybe 20, 30 words. But from those 20, 30 words came the most phenomenal speech. People would hang on every word. When he had to read the speeches or learn them, it was very difficult for him during that time in the campaign. But that's when the press started becoming a little more aggressive about their needs.
Right.
They had to have the script. They had to have the speech script so that they could take it out of context, as they always did.
They wanted to research so they can ding him on whatever he
totally,
was about
and he got dinged all the time.
You know, it's so sad because I personally probably used to enjoy politics, but I don't much anymore because I don't feel that anybody gets to be authentic in that process. And it sounds to me like, I was pretty young, obviously, but it sounds to me like your dad was pretty authentic.
He was really authentic. And unfortunately, I think today with, once again, I'm going to say they've kind of turned into paparazzi, the press around the politicians, because they, you know, it used to be that when the news was disseminated, the journalists that were talking to you via television were not supposed to give you any kind of facial expression. They were simply to read the monitor, give you the news that was happening. But if you find nowadays, they all have their own damn opinions.
Right.
Excuse the French, but it just, don't get me on the subject of press, because that, well, I think they really hurt my dad.
Yeah, probably so. And it's probably even more so painful, because you think to yourself, here's somebody who really could contribute. I mean, if we're looking at it through today's lens, somebody whose wife was friends with Margaret Sanger and starting Planned Parenthood in the States, that probably wasn't something that would today be on the Republican ticket as something that would be important. But your dad really represented the people.
Yes.
And one of the early supporters of gay rights. And,
yes.
And you don't realize what treasure you lose when you seek to destroy somebody for your own gain,
yes,
for your political party's gain. You don't realize that you take somebody that could be that person to bridge those sides.
Well, that's why we don't have, not being involved in politics as much as I used to be, and I really never was that much, because I lived it.
Yes.
I lived it since I was 11 years old.
Sure.
So I'm not going to want to sit around and chat politics all the time.
Right.
But these young politicians that are coming in, it's hard, because, number one, the first thing the press want to do is to look into their background and say, what skeletons can we come out about this person?
Right.
Leave them alone. Let them prove to us that they're worthy to be, you know, represent their state or their community or what have you. Leave them alone and let them do the job.
Or more importantly, let's embrace the mistakes they've made and hope they've learned from them and be human about, you
yes.
know, what it means to be an adult. You know, you go through the hard knocks, you do things, and yeah, maybe some criminal activity you wouldn't want to, you know, approve of. But at some point, people are people, and everybody, like such as yourself, want to do some sort of give back. And
I think so.
And politics is certainly a very tough environment to
very
do that
tough.
Give back.
You have to have a nice finances to go into politics.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things you said was you got to meet some of the presidents that that gave you the that appointed you to the Barry Goldwater Scholarship and Excellence in Education Foundation. What was that like for you?
Well, I met Bush Sr. and Bush Jr., and they're just neat guys, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was, I'm always in awe of anybody that has come to that great prominence. You know, they ran our country.
Yes.
And I don't know if you know this, but Hillary Clinton was a Goldwater girl.
No. What an interesting story.
She was a Goldwater girl.
Tell me what that meant at the time.
Well, these were volunteers that would go around in felt skirts with Goldwater on the bottom, little fringe top vests, a little cowboy hat, and she wore that uniform. I happen to have one at home somebody sent me, because I do collect my dad's memorabilia now.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was interesting.
It is interesting. What a fascinating.
I don't know where she went from being a conservative Goldwater girl to, you know, a fairly liberal, almost presidential candidate. Who knows? I don't know.
What a great
Maybe
story.
Because she became a lawyer. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe that there's a connection there. Now, you got to meet President Clinton as well.
I did.
Yeah,
he has charisma. I met President Ford too,
oh, very
and
nice.
Those two presidents had the most charisma of any president that I ever met.
Now that is so funny that you would include President Ford in the same level of charisma as Clinton. I don't think very many people would
not
make
many,
that association.
Not of Gerald Ford. I remember standing
to
next to him, and I thought, oh my gosh, this man has so much charisma, and we weren't even chatting that much. But he was one of those gracious people like, well, Clinton, they look you in the eye when they shake your hand.
Mm-hmm.
I remember shaking hands with Lyndon Johnson. He was looking above my head at the entire room to see who was looking at him.
Uh-huh.
And it was my night, because I was the azalea queen.
Uh-huh.
You know, and his daughter had been the azalea queen the year before, and that's why he was at my party.
I see.
So,
but
no.
But you really can learn a lot about a man by meeting them in person.
Oh, yes,
know?
And how genuine they are. I mean, I found these two, President Ford and President Clinton, to be very genuine.
Interesting.
And I think they really cared.
I, too, have met President Clinton in person, and I can remember at that time, you know, maybe having viewpoints, because it was after the whole Monica Lewinsky thing, and I had some pretty strong viewpoints as a woman against some of the accusations and some of the things that eventually bared out to be true. But I was all ready to hold my position until I met him, and all I could feel was compassion for him, because here this man was tireless and out there campaigning for his country. And it was such an odd and quick transformation by being in the presence of him. All I could think of was, Mr. President, you need to get some rest. Because he looked as tired as anything. He showed up at this event I was at 11 o'clock at night. Ugh. And all I could think was, go home and go get some sleep.
You know, I don't think politicians get rest at all.
Yeah,
it's a never-ending, never-stopping job.
Yes. Well, one of the things I've enjoyed about our time here today was just hearing about how you've rolled up your sleeves for this community here in Orange County. And it looks to me, as I look at your bio, that you have really done that just about everywhere you go. And wow, if Real People OC wasn't just for people like you and to sing the praises, I feel really grateful to have spent the time with you today.
Oh, thank you.
Really appreciate that you did some reminiscing for us towards the end of the show.
Well, just remember, it's always easy to give back, because what you get in return can fill your heart.
Oh, what, so well said. And with that, I want to close the show and thank you, Peggy Goldwater Clay, for spending this hour with me. I have greatly appreciated it.
Thank you, Kimberly Martin.
Okay, so if you are staying tuned with us, you get to enjoy Matt Kaplan with Counterspin, and then after that, Planetary Radio. So we welcome you to stick around with us through the rest of our public affairs show, and then after that, we will have Kyle with Things That Are Square.